great series so far. Oil Kings, a convincing win in game one. Brandon comes back with a convincing win in game two. And, you know, yesterday it was back and forth.
Yeah, absolutely, Jason. It's been a lot of fun so far. I thought, you know, game one, Edmonton really shut down Brandon, didn't allow much. And the Wheat Kings, full marks in game two came out, especially in that third period, and really blew Edmonton away. And the game last night was back and forth, tight hockey game, physical game, lots of twists and turns. So it's been fun so far.
The Brandon Baddock goal obviously depends on which side you fall on. What did you, from you saw, you were right there in the building. Yeah. What did you think of the play when you saw it?
Well, at first I thought for sure it was a goal, to be honest with you, because I thought the rules were you know, you can't bat it in with your arm or your skate, you can't kick it. But after further review, and they reviewed it for a long time, which allowed Guy and I to talk for a long time about how much we thought it was a goal. But hey, we were wrong. It you go down in the rule book, you break it down, it's further down the list. It talks about deflecting off any body part. Deflecting is fine, redirecting not so much. And the big question was whether Baddock had kind of bumped it in purposely or whether it went off of him. And if you watch the replay, it's clear that he tries to bump it in. So Yeah. By letter of the law, it's a no goal. You kind of wonder, though, you know, we're trying to find ways to create offense. I don't know why you can't headbutt a goal or puck in or chest bump it in, but it's kind of like somebody said today, the Dez Bryant catch, where it's by the rule, it's correct, but sometimes it's a weird rule.
Oh, 100% agree on that.
And how deflating was that goal for the Oil Kings moving forward? Were they able to kind of gather themselves up after? Or could you really tell that took a lot out of them?
You know what, Mark? I thought they came back pretty well. You know, there are a couple shifts where Brandon started pretty good after that. But in the last 3 or 4 minutes of the game, the Oil Kings were all over the Wheat Kings trying to find a way to even that one out. And I think the worst part was how long it took to review it. And, you know, as much as they got the call right, that's all that matters. It took a lot of the wind out of the sails over that long review. But, you know, that's one that I talked to the replay officials. They're like, we've never seen this before any level of hockey, this situation exactly. So, kudos for them to getting together and making the right call, but it sapped the energy a bit. But, you know, the Oil Kings had lots of time left to get that even up goal, and they tried, but Jordan Paperny denied them a few times.
Very scary moment involving Matt Diller of the Oil Kings yesterday. Is there an update? Is he going to be able to go tomorrow night for the Kings?
Whether or not he can go, I don't know as of yet. Steve Hamilton said today that it's possible. You know, myself thinking at the play, I would find it surprising if he gets back in right away, because that was scary. And it's funny, again, where we sit at Rexall Place in the corner, you're above that board area, so you didn't really see it necessarily looking down. You're kind of blocked by the bench, but looking at the opposite angle on replay, my gosh, Mads Eller went into the Oil Kings, had opened their gate to change defensively, and Eller lost an edge after a hit, got through the hit, but then he went straight into the boards, kind of sternum and face first. His helmet popped off, and it was scary. The trainer was over the boards, immediately jumped the boards to get into play. Brandon's trainer as well jumped in. So the good news is Eller was up and walking around today. He's gone to the hospital for evaluations and stuff like that. It looks, you know, okay, big picture. Whether or not he's back in this series, I'm not sure.
Corey Graham, voice of the Oil Kings, joined us. Yeah, that was obviously a very scary situation, Corey. If Eller can't go, who draws in?
Well, that's going to be interesting, because they've had a few guys out of the flu a little bit. Braden Brown didn't play last game because of that. So, I mean, we would hope he can get back in right away. Marshall Donald on the blue line didn't play last game because he was under the weather. So maybe, you know, he draws in and they change things around a little bit. Maybe look at seven defensemen. But they've been trying to, you know, it's weird because Brandon had the flu early in the series. In the first couple games, there was a lot of talk about how sick the Wheat Kings were. But I don't know if Edmonton maybe caught it a bit from them during the games or what happened. But they've had a couple guys under the weather. So I think it's a little bit of a lineup in flux right now, waiting to see who can go tomorrow. Donald skated today. I don't think Brown did, so we'll see who can go tomorrow.
Looking at the other series, which one has caught your attention the most?
There's some good series. You know, I watched a bit of the Calgary Kootenay game last night in the box during our commercials and stuff like that. And, you know, that game went to overtime and Calgary was able to even it out. So a big win for them heading to Cranbrook. And Kootenay just plays Calgary tough for whatever reason. Of course, if you remember last year, they had just a high scoring first round series that was back and forth. So that's been interesting out west. I mean, Seattle and Portland tied at one through two games. I mean, Seattle winning game one and then Portland able to come back last night. I think it's a tough matchup for the Winterhawks. They've been playing some good hockey, but the T-Birds hanging in there. So there's a lot of good series, though. And you know, is Tri-City going to be able to score a goal in their first round series against Kelowna, the way the Rockets are playing right now? They're all over the Americans. So there's lots of other things going on as well around the league.
I want to go back to Portland for a quick second, Corey. You've seen a lot of Portland over the last 3 years. Every year they think they're going to run out of gas to make it to the final. They seem to do. Is this team Portland team kind of the same that we've seen the last few years? Would you be surprised if they make it all the way to the finals?
No. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you look out west. I mean, Kelowna's the team out west. I mean, they loaded up. They made all the moves. So you have to get through Kelowna. But the way Portland plays, and they play Kelowna tough, they beat them a lot down in Portland as well. It's kind of, you know, they've eliminated Kelowna the last couple of years. So it wouldn't shock me at all. They're getting good goaltending right now from Aiden Hill. And that's kind of been their Achilles heel a little bit. It's hard to say Achilles heel. They made the final last 4 years in a row. But there's one question mark about Portland. It's been in goal, and they're getting good goaltending right now. Oliver Bjorkstrand is, I mean, the kid's unconscious the way he's scoring, and Nick Patan. You have to think, though, you have to think this is the last year for that group. There's so many guys that have gone through, but who knows? They'll be in the Winterhawks lineup next year. We're talking about the same thing.
Corey Graham joins us now, the voice of the Oil Kings. Game 4 between the Oil Kings and Wheat Kings goes tomorrow night right here on TSN 1260. Corey, if you had to name one MVP of the Oil Kings in the first three games not named Tristan Jarry, who would it be? Oh,
that's a good question. Tyler Robertson's got a couple goals. You look at him. Brett Pollock, I think, was clearly the best player in game number one. His offense has kind of gone away the last couple of games, and I think that line of Pollock, Colton Bauer needs to be better offensively. But you look at the depth players. I thought Eller was really good early, but you know, obviously didn't finish the game last game. So there's a few guys that have stepped up. I don't think there's been one guy that's been dominant. I mean, the game they won, and even last night, Tristan Jarry was their best player, and that's what they're going to need to do. So to take him out of the mix, I think it leaves you with a bunch of other guys kind of in the area. But, you know, a couple big goals for Tyler Robertson, and, you know, defensively, that's been their biggest issue, is they got to stop turning the puck over. I mean, two of the Brandon three goals last night were turnovers and were miscommunications in Edmonton zone, and against that weak Kings team, you just can't do that. So I think they're looking for a couple guys to step up.
Corey, looking at the shots on goal last night, it was 16-4 in the third period, but Brandon, of course, had scored two goals. Was that after they got up with those two goals? Did they just go back into a defensive shell and was all Oil Kings, or did the Oil Kings really dominate that period and Brandon just kind of got lucky on two out of four shots?
Yeah, Edmonton dominated the period. Brandon's a team that doesn't sit back. I mean, if you saw in game number two, I mean, they ran the score up, man. They scored five goals in that third period, and that's not, I'm not being malicious saying that they went out there to embarrass the Oil Kings. They just don't take their foot off the pedal. That's not their style. Their style is to score as many goals as you can, which is fine. But I thought Edmonton did a really good job defensively, and then they made Jordan Paperny make a bunch of saves, and Paperny was really good in that third period. You know, I thought, you look at the Oil Kings shots, and a lot of them maybe in the early first 40 minutes were from the outside and didn't really challenge the goal a ton, but in that last 6-7 minutes, they really made Paperny earn that victory, and you know, good on him for making some of those saves he did, especially in the dying moments. He robbed Tyler Robertson in front. You know, he made a save on a deflection off Andrew Kep that caught the crossbar as well. Edmonton was all over them at times. They just couldn't find a way to get the back of the net. And then, like I said, the first Brandon goal was a turnover by a defenseman that ended up going in off another defenseman. And then the third goal, the go-ahead goal, was a seeing eye wrister from the blue line through a ton of traffic. So I don't think you can really fault Tristan Jarry on any of the goals last night. It's just, you know, Brandon's going to score. However they do it, they're going to score their goals. So you have to find a way to beat their goaltender.
Corey, we'll let you know the update on the sprint. You know what's funny? We actually have Neville Wright here at the base right now, the former sprinter turned bobsledder. So we'll get his thoughts on Mageau and Strudwick in a sprint. I'll tell you right now, I might take Neville Wright backwards over those two guys in a sprint, realistically. But you know, bobsledders, you want to talk about strength and quickness in a 20-meter sprint. That's pretty much all they practice a lot of times. So it'll be interesting to see get his thoughts on proper sprinting techniques and a lot of other things. So tune in.
All right, looking forward to it. I still like Mageau, though.